Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual master of the entire world, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a dog can swim across a great ocean. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sometimes it is to be seen that a dog can swim in the water for a few yards and then come back to the shore. Here, however, it is stated that if a dog is blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can swim across an ocean. Similarly, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, placing himself in a helpless condition, states that he has no personal power, but by the desire of Lord Chaitanya, expressed through the Vaishnavas and Madan Mohan Vigraha, it is possible for him to cross a transcendental ocean to present Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tam Srimad Krishna Chaitanya Devam Bande Jagat Gurum Yasya Anukampaya Shvapi Mahabdim Santare Tsukam. This is our primary goal, is to cross the ocean of material existence. Vaitarani, sometimes it's called. Crossing over that ocean. And, of course, to do that, one is required to engage in devotional service as much as he can do, as much as his capacity. And that capacity, if one engages to his fullest capacity, Krishna is pleased. As we know in the story of Lord Ramachandra, Hanuman was throwing big boulders into the sea and they were floating, and a spider was kicking little grains of sand into the sea, and Lord Ramachandra accepted both as perfect. So one may not have the capacity as Hanuman, but still, if he gives his best effort. Lord Ramachandra was so pleased with Jatayu. Jatayu couldn't defeat Ravana, but he tried because he knew this was his service to Lord Ramachandra. We're taught in Bhagavad Gita that one should perform his duty because it ought to be done without considering loss or failure, loss or victory, gain, loss or gain, victory or defeat, fame or infamy, however it turns out. Krishna just wants us to do our best in serving Him. And as the Brahman from Avantipur said, I shall cross over the ocean, the insurmountable ocean, by taking shelter of those who have passed before, those who have already crossed. In another place it says that the great saintly persons, they cross the ocean, they take a boat, but they mysteriously, mystically leave the boat on the same side so that one can follow. Taking that analogy a little further, the boat is compared to this material body, human body. When one has a human form, it's a good boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. And the spiritual master is compared to the captain of the ship, captain of the ship. Tvam na sandarshito datta dushtaram nishtatirsatam kalim sattvaharam pungsam karnadari varnavam. And the Vedas are compared to the favorable winds. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tatagaro tasya ite katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmana. One who has implicit faith in both Guru and Krishna, for him all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. This is the secret to success, crossing over the ocean of material existence. And this comparison to the dog is very appropriate for some of us. It's striking very close to home because our lives were quite similar to that of dog. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's all. Nothing more, nothing higher. Even if someone was trying to do something higher, thinking, philosophizing, even through religion, the age of Kali is so, it's so full of faults that even when one tries to follow religion, I was listening to a conversation and Prabhupada was speaking and New Vrindavan, our Harisari Prabhu was present and they were discussing Bhavan's journal questions. Bhavan's journal from India. And they were great questions. If anyone hasn't heard that conversation, I would strongly recommend you hear it. Wonderful. Prabhupada really seemed to relish those questions because they seemed to touch on the real guidance to society, and Prabhupada was taking it. So anyway, one of the questions was, what is the future of Hinduism? Prabhupada said, it's already finished. No future. But then he went further. So then what to do? And he said, not only is Hinduism finished, but all the religions are finished. And even if there is something there, Krishna says, sarva dharman parichaja mamekam sharanam. Give up all religion, surrender to me. So that is the future for everyone. That is it. That's the only hope for Kali Yuga. The slow process, going through different stages, different lifetimes, working one's way up from being a Shudra to being a Vaishya. One can do this by performing different rituals and different pious activities. But it's risky, very risky. Because Kali Yuga is such an ocean of faults, even if one comes back, even if one takes birth in the family of Brahmanas, is that a guarantee that one is going to be take to Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service? one may become distracted again. It's a Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everyone is born Shudra in Kali Yuga. So it's not possible to expect that we're going to have an easy time that way. But the process has been made so easy by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Jagadguru. He's the Jagadguru, he's the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. He appeared at the beginning. Sandhya, Yuga Sandhya. He's appearing early. Only 5,000 years or 4,500 years past, Lord Chaitanya appeared. He's the same Krishna that appeared at the end of Dwapara Yuga, but this time, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangas Chaparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedasa. This time he's appearing not in his blackish form, but golden form, or pita, yellow. It's a special Kali Yuga. Krishna, in his two-handed Swayam Bhagavan feature, only appears once in a day of Brahma, 4,300,000,000 years, and a night of Brahma, so that's 8,600,000,000 years. Krishna appears and Lord Chaitanya appears just afterwards, and we're here, only 500 years afterwards. What do you think? What are the odds of being in a better situation than this? Some people think, well, I'll take it up later. I'll get serious later. Better get serious now. We don't know how later is. It can't get any easier than this. Just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Rama Rama. Everyone here can vibrate the Maha Mantra. Prabhupada said even a dog can take part in the chanting of Hare Krishna. Yeah, it may not pronounce all the syllables perfectly, but still they can participate. There's even a story about a dog. You know the story. It's famous. Shivananda Sena's picked up a street dog, or the dog just happened to follow along the party that was going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya and Rath Yatra. And so Shivananda Sena was very merciful. He was in charge of the party, and he saw that dog wants to come. He's so eager. He's coming along with the party. So he was feeding him, making sure he got sufficient prasadam. He didn't just feed him ordinary food. Prasadam. We don't feed anyone ordinary food. We give them prasadam. So, story is that Shivananda Sena left instructions. He had to go take care of some tolls and some arrangements. He told the devotees, make sure you feed the dog prasadam. And he even paid extra to a boatman. But one boatman said, I'm not taking any dogs on my boat. No dogs. Shivananda said, oh, I'll pay you extra. He said, okay. They made a deal, so he took him. He was really wanting to bring this dog to Jagannath Puri. When he came back after the tolls, the dog was gone. He said, did you feed them? Said, oh, we forgot. He was disappointed. Anyway, when he arrived in Jagannath Puri and went into the presence of Lord Chaitanya, there was the dog, some distance from Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was throwing bits of coconut pulp, malai, and the dog was catching it in his mouth, prasad. And then Lord Chaitanya asked the dog to lead the kirtan. And so he did. And then he went back to Godhead. So there's proof that a dog can go back to Godhead by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Dog, animals, monkeys, sometimes Prabhupada compared in his own charming, blissful way that as Lord Ramachandra engaged monkeys in building the bridge and cross, so I'm also and we were left to fill in the blanks, and so we should always remember where we were before. That's an important aspect of devotional service. If we become too content or proud, thinking that we're in a very high position, it's true, we are in a very high position to be engaged in devotional service. There's nothing higher. It's the highest. But we're also in a precarious position because we're in the material world. And we can very easily slip back. So it's good to remember these things about where we were before and what would have been our fate had we not been saved. How it's like a dog trying to, if you throw a dog in the middle of the ocean, there's no hope. Even a good swimmer, Olympic swimmer, if you throw him in the middle of the ocean, there's no hope. You just have to be saved. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I come riding on Garuda as the swift deliverer from the ocean of suffering. So Krishna has to come and save us. And Krishna is sending his representatives to assist. He doesn't need any assistance, but out of his causeless mercy, he gives the chance to his devotees to act as his assistants and his representatives. And there's nothing more blissful. I have many nice memories here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, trying to save souls who are drowning in the material existence at Soho Street and at Puri Place, also before Soho Street. So there's so many wonderful experiences, throwing the life, what do you call it, the life-saving device, throwing life buoy, yes. And giving them a chance, come and chant with us, come and take prasadam, come and hear about Krishna. They all attract, come and see Krishna. I was thinking today that only it would really be hard to not be attracted to Krishna after seeing the beautiful deities, Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshmi. Only someone of the caliber of Ravana, I think, because I saw Sitaram, I thought, how could Ravana not be? How could he not be? But that's Ravana, so we should bring people here as much as possible. I hear 10,000 students are coming here every year. What a wonderful service that you're performing here. It's just incredible to worship the deities on this level and make it so attractive. The grounds are just indescribable how beautiful they are, and cows are being so nicely protected, and so it's so many things, I can't mention them all, but these are things that come to the mind. So you're to be congratulated. I remember when Prabhupada came here in the last, was it September of 77? He was on his way, he was planning to go to Gita Nagari for his last tour, or to recover however Krishna wanted. He wasn't sure, but he came here, and devotees from all over Europe converged on short notice. He stayed for 2 weeks, I think. And so he went to soul to see Radha Vandaneeshwara. Everything perfect, and he was so happy with the devotees. They were distributing books very enthusiastically and chanting very enthusiastically, and they were dressed nicely and hearing nicely. That's the process. And I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita recently, Prabhupada was, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was describing the books written by the six Goswamis, and Prabhupada in the purport was describing Jiva Goswami's books and the Shatsamdarbha. And there was one section that he mentioned is how even by imperfectly performing devotional service, one can reach the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That really resonated with me. How by even imperfectly performing, because perfectly performing, that's a very high attainment. But even by, so I was so happy to hear this, that there's even a way to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, even by imperfectly performing devotional service. And that's good, because that's our hope, is that even by imperfectly performing, because who can say they're performing devotional service perfectly in Kali Yuga? Who's a perfect brahmachari? Who's a perfect sannyasi? Who's a perfect grihastha? Who's a perfect anything? But by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, even a dog can go across the ocean. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langayate girim yatkipata mahammande shri gurum dinatarnam. Even a layman can cross mountains. A dumb man can speak eloquent poetry. All these things are not exaggerations. They're real. And one can achieve the highest perfection just by having faith in Krishna. That Krishna will protect me. I have no other protection. Sharanagati. Krishna is my only protector. There's no one else. And really, who else is there? Who is going to save us? Is our family going to be able to save us? Is our bank balance, our credit line, our insurance policy, our kung fu, our security system, our dog, we have a good guard dog, whatever, our army, our air force? No. No hope. But only Krishna. And what does that saving mean? It means chanma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakva deham punar janma naiti mameti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body take his birth again, but attains to my eternal abode. That's what it means. No more birth. If there's no more birth, then there's no more death. And that ajanma karma, what is that? That means knowing Krishna, as we're learning Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, from Bhagavatam. This is what it means to know Krishna's divine transcendental appearance and activities. That's what it means. Study Prabhupada's books. And so what about the pain of death? Well, that's still a problem. We're still worried about that. That's very short. And afterwards, the The next moment, one opens his eyes and he's in the land of Goloka with Krishna. That's what Prabhupada said. And he opened his eyes and looked around. Everyone was, ah, yes, that's what we want. We want to go back to Krishna. So, we should fix our minds on that. Nothing else. There's no other business. Anything else can wait. We have to make our priorities. Our priority should be first Krishna consciousness, then everything else. Nothing before becoming pure devotees or becoming as pure as we can become. There is some leeway. You can still pass the course even if you don't get 100%. Some leniency, some mercy is there. But we don't want to take advantage of that. Let's try our best. Chant our rounds every day, 16 rounds at least. Follow the four regulative principles strictly. Don't try to cut corners. Don't try to make some make it easier by some philosophical imagination. It's challenging, but that's ISKCON, that's Prabhupada, that's what he gave us. If you want to get the highest perfection, if you want to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Krishna's mercy, then Prabhupada's giving it very easily. So it's not that difficult. There are many devotees who have been practicing for many years and are, you can take advantage of their association and appreciate what they've got, their wealth of knowledge. They have such knowledge, it's unfathomable. You just have to hear from them and get their mercy as they have gotten it from their spiritual master. This is the process. It's passed down. Evam parampara praptam. This parampara system is still working. It's still functional. The tree, if the tree is producing nice fruits and some of you are new fruits, some of you are older fruits, but very ripe, this is a good sign. And keep trying to bring more. The more you bring people to Krishna consciousness, then your life is a success. You become a touchstone. You become empowered. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pravartana. By Krishna's mercy, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by the Guru's mercy, you become empowered. You can give Krishna consciousness to others. Become a guru. Jare dake tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara gyai guru hana tare edesh. Everyone has to become a guru. Mother is a guru. Father is guru. Teacher is guru. Guru in one's neighborhood. Become neighborhood guru. So there's no shortage of service. And everything is auspicious. Our future is bright if we stay with Krishna consciousness, stay with the devotees. Don't associate intimately with non-devotees if you care about your spiritual life, because it can be taken away. That's his instruction of Rupa Goswami and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He got it from Lord Chaitanya. One householder devotee in South India, when Lord Chaitanya was traveling there, he said, can you describe what are the characteristics of a Vaishnava? And he said that give up the association of non-devotees is the quality of a Vaishnava. That's the one thing. Asat sanga tyaga e Vaishnava achar. The behavior of a Vaishnava is he gives up the association of non-devotees. So we have a worldwide society. Millions of devotees are connected with ISKCON. No question about it. Anyone who's been to India, even Bhaktivedanta Manor on a festival day, how many come for Janmashtami? What's the number now? How many? Wow, it's more than I thought. 70,000. This is wonderful. I was in Mumbai on one day. It was a January 1st. Over 100,000 people came to the temple just because it was January 1st. They wanted to make their New Year's resolutions at the temple. So that's 100,000. It's amazing. So we have a big family, a big society, and we want to keep it pure and make it bigger. That was, I'll just end on this note, and then if there's any questions, we can take it. But in the early days in India, some of Prabhupada's disciples, the first disciples there, they had to stay at Gaudiya Mathas and different places because we didn't have temples. Well, one of them was speaking with Prabhupada, and he said, "Prabhupada, I've noticed that at these other temples, some of them are very high standard, strict. The devotees are, but not very many people. And some of them have many, many followers, but the standard not so strict." He said, "But I've noticed that you have a high standard and many followers also." Prabhupada said, "Yes, now you've understood." That is Prabhupada's aim, to have many, to make a house that the whole world can live in peacefully, but with high standard, not that we bring in all of our rubbish things that we have hidden in our closets and bring them in and say that that's what Prabhupada wanted for the house. No. To clean out. So thank you very much for your kind attention. If there are any questions...